Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And we'll look to verse 7 and read verse 7. But you know what that word but is? It joins it to something said previously. But unto every one of us church members, Ephesian church members, us today, Grace Baptist Church members, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. If you remember the last couple of weeks, we stopped there with the thought, but unto every one of us is given grace. You notice there's not a pause there, there's of any kind. There's not a period there. It didn't end there, but we chose to end it there because unto every one of us is given the grace of salvation, yes. And we expounded on that, we enumerated on that, and actually we ended up taking 2 weeks because of family coming in and felting some needed to hear about the grace of God, and as well as some in our own midst still needing to hear about the grace of God, and not works for salvation, but it's a gift that God gives to us. But we enumerated on that, and it was the gift of Christ, which is not exactly what our verse says. It says, given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Well, the grace given was Christ in salvation. But that's not the grace he's necessarily talking about here. And that'll become more evident. Maybe not in today's message, but the week following. Today, as we have thought about this grace given according to the measure of Christ, according to the measure of Christ, and what is the grace given according to the measure of Christ? It's that we might edify, that each member of the Ephesian church might edify the body of Christ, that each member of the Grace Baptist Church might edify the body of Christ. And that is keeping in line with the context. It's keeping in line with what he said previously and walking in unity. All those foregoing thoughts were to promote unity in the body. This afternoon we want to consider the thought of edify. It is the responsibility of every church member to edify the body of Christ. That's the purpose in us walking in unity. That's the purpose of us with all lowliness and meekness. Long suffering. Forbearing one another in love. Is that we might build one another up. We've all met those individuals that felt like it was their responsibility to tear us down. Well, it's the responsibility of every church member to build up. Not build up my ego, not build up Brother Ron's ego, not build up Brother Mike's ego. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about in the things of Christ. Spiritually. And that'll become even more evident, as we said, in next week and in the weeks to follow. Because we're this thought of giving gifts to the church continues down through verse 16 of our present chapter, and then he gets into how we're not to walk, how we're to walk. We're not to walk because we didn't learn Christ that way, but this is how we've learned Christ, and this is how we ought to walk. In verses 17 through the end of the chapter. But looking at some scriptures concerning edifying, let's turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14. You see, basically, to sum up Romans chapter 14, there's not to be any division in the church. There's not to be any schism in the church, because we're to edify. Verse 19, let us therefore, we have one master, we all have the same master, and we have to give an account to that master, which is, he says, because we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You see. And so he used the thoughts of this brother feels like he has liberty to do this. This brother feels like he doesn't have liberty to do this. Well, don't you cause a division in the body. Because you feel like you can, and he feels like you can't, and so you get at variance with one another over it. He used the example of eating meats and food offered to idols. And some felt as though they could eat all things because it's been sanctified by the Word of God and by prayer. And some didn't feel like they could because he considered them folks babes, and the stronger ones being those feel like all things are blessed by God and so on and so forth. But in verse 19 he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Oh, you see, he's talking on a one-on-one basis, church members, but on a one-on-one basis. You see, that's where we can get out of step. That's where we can cause problems. You see. And our goal ought to be to build up one another in the things of God. In the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then down a few more sentences in our Bibles, a few more verses into another chapter. Verse 2, he says, let every one of us please his neighbor.
for his good to edification. Let every one of us please his friend, his neighbor, his friend, or anyone that we have any dealings with. Fellow, in other words, our fellow men. The ones that we come in contact, the ones we come in contact on, seek to edify, he said. Edification. Well, you might be thinking, well, how do I edify somebody out here who's not saved? The gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, if they hear and they believe, then that, isn't that building up? Well, sure it is. That's our responsibility in the world as church members of the Lord's church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is another familiar portion of Scripture. The 14th chapter, you should know the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians is the one that deals about with tongues. You see, it was a practice that we don't have today because there's no one that is endued without study, much labor and study, endued with just the ability to speak in Spanish. Boy, Brother Kraft would have loved that if God would have called him to Mexico to preach the gospel down there and the Lord just give him the gift of being able to speak in Spanish without months and years of labor and study learning the language. You see, there's no one endowed with that. The early church, they did. Because there was a sign upon them. They didn't have the completed Word of God. It gave authenticity to them being the Lord's people, being the church of the Lord and being able to do this. But in verse 3, notice what he said now to the church at Corinth, because they were exalting the speaking in tongues. He said in verse 3, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." That's something that someone who, if I stand up here and speak in Spanish, is it going to edify you? Are you going to get anything out of it? No. That's what he's saying here. So the one who prophesies, the one who tells forth the Word of God, he edifies, builds up. Verse 5. "I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying." Now, I've been in church service where the preacher was speaking in Spanish. But in the church service I was in, well, I was in a couple other, I guess, where his son wasn't. But his son, the preacher's son, was standing there, and he was giving forth the message in English. He would preach a few words, lines in Spanish, then his son would give forth the interpretation thereof, and then he'd speak a few more lines, then his son would give forth the interpretation thereof. You see? That's okay. Because I got something out of that then. But if he'd have just got up there and started preaching in Spanish, wouldn't have meant a thing to me. In fact, it would have been gibberish and gobbledygook, and I would have, it's so annoying. You know? But as it was edifying. It was built up. Building up. Look with me at verse 12. He says, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." Oh, in any gift Listen, you might be some that envy Brother Ron. Don't envy Brother Ron. That's fleshly. Envy is. But seek to have Brother Ron's gift that you might edify the body. Now that's spiritual. That's good. Or is Charity standing up here and saying this afternoon, some may, man, I wish I could do that, you know? Be honest with you, I can't do what Sister Charity did. I mean, I could. Everyone might not like it. You know? Brother Mike does a good job when he has to lead his a cappella. You know? I need a piano. Try to keep me on tune. You know? But you see? But desire those gifts that you might excel. Be zealous of those gifts. Seek after those gifts. But to edify the body of Christ. Not to build yourself up. You see, if Brother Ron gets up here and for his own self-gratification and look at me, I can play this horn, or look at me, I can sing. He's done it for the wrong reason. I trust that every time he gets up here, it's to bless the body of Christ. It's to build up the body of Christ that we might glorify God, you see, in the efforts. Verse 26. Notice what he says. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. You see, obviously they were coming together and they were exalting their ability to do these different things that he lists here. And it was just creating confusion. It wasn't to edify. And he says, let all things be done. Let all things be done to edifying. You see, boy, that takes self out of the picture. That takes me out of the picture. When I consider the body of Christ and it being built up. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice what the Apostle Paul says here. And of course, it's concerning his ministry. Yes, the Spirit of God had him record these things because it was important for us to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 19, he said, again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. But we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Listen, that was Paul's purpose and goal in ministering. To edify. Not to build a name for Paul. Sometimes I think the way we refer to Paul and talk about Paul and great missionary that he was, Paul would be embarrassed to hear us talking that way about him. That wasn't why he did it. He didn't do it to build a name for himself. He did it to build up the body of Christ. You see, he wanted the body of Christ to be exalted. He was the one that deserves exaltation, not he himself. Each one of us, having Jesus Christ, yes, we've received grace. Christ given. Each one of us having Jesus Christ, we have the ability on that basis to edify one another. But you got to get self out of the picture, out of the way. See, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we ought to behave as brothers, and sisters in Christ. Let me ask myself this and you this. If Christ was seated right here on the front row, if we had dealings with Christ, would we treat him the way we treat Brother Ron? Or would we treat him the way we treat Brother Jesse? Oh, I dare say not. I dare say we would be on our best behavior. Would we not? We would be running to his every beck and call. You got what you need? We would be sitting at his feet and learning. We ought to be that way with one another. Right? We ought to be that way with one another. We ought to walk in humility with a gentle spirit. We have that ability. Christ is in us. And isn't he? I've seen some. I've heard of some. Stories I've heard. I don't think Christ is in them. They sure not behaving like Christ is in them. Am I behaving like Christ is in me? Do I have a gentle spirit? Am I long suffering? Am I lifting up my brothers and sisters in Christ? Am I seeking to edify them because of love? Agape. Because I have the love of God in my heart. It's shed abroad. If it's shed abroad in me, why can't I exhibit it more? Why can't I manifest it more? Why can't you manifest it more? You get the point. You ought to be making haste with all diligence toward unity and the Spirit in the bond of peace. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, learn of me. Learn me. Learn. Consider me. Consider my ways. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, verse that we love, that we've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. How did Jesus behave? How did Jesus treat one another? How did Jesus treat his apostles? Oh yes, he reproved and rebuked and exhorted them on occasions, but he reproved, rebuked, and exhorted them with the word of God, and he did it in love. And he was long-suffering with them and forbearing with them. You see, I'm not more important than you, and you're not more important than me. One member is not more important than the other member. Talking to a fellow out here several months ago, maybe a year ago now. And he didn't want to come here because we have a hierarchy.
my getting up here preaching, I'm a hierarchy. You see, that was his understanding. He doesn't have an understanding of the things of God. He wanted to go like what our Sunday schools would be divided up, and we just all sit around here and we throw out our ideas. That's what he's looking for. Well, my Bible tells me, the Word of God tells me, that no scripture is given of any private interpretation. You see? So we're, one member is not more important than another. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9. And look with me here at verse 48. After a squabble arose amongst them, which one should be the greatest? You see, flesh is in the way, huh? Which one of us is going to be greatest? And Jesus, perceiving thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. Verse 48. And said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all he shall be great. You see, walk in lowliness and meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another in love. The servant, the one who has the heart of humility and service, building up the brethren, truly has that heart. He's greater than the one who maybe stands in the pulpit. Maybe he's greater than the one who stands up here and sings beautifully special. Or maybe he's greater than the one who stands and plays the horn beautifully. You get the point? Get the idea? You see, be as a little child. Dependent. A little child is dependent on others. Oh, they want a little child sometimes wants to exert their self into the picture. They got their idea of what they want to do, and somebody's got to tell them, no, that's not good for you to do. You know, and then they don't like it. They get upset. You know. But a child really, actually, is dependent. Dependent on others. They can't provide for themselves. They can't take care of them. We're to all be as little children. Dependent. Dependent upon one another. I'm dependent on you. You ought to be dependent on me. We're all dependent upon God. And God speaks through me and gives me and gives you all what we all need. You see. Each one is to be to the building up of the body of Christ. And that has eternal significance. God's keeping that record. God knows the heart with which you do what you do. He knows the heart with which I do what I do. The commission. The Great Commission. is the building up of the church.
Oh, right away, your mind, how many of your minds went to the Great Commission as being, yeah, we're building up the church numerically?
Well, yeah, that too.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And those that are saved, baptize, make church members out of them. And then what?
Teach them the all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Is that not the building up of the church?
Is not at all of the Great Commission, is it not building up the body of Christ? Yes, building that numerically, but building it up spiritually as well.
Those that are saved and added to the church are to be built spiritually.
They're not to be always needing milk fed.
I dare say Brother Pam or Brother Jesse and Sister Pam back there would get quite concerned if all Eden could ever do was drink milk and never could go on to stronger food. There's something wrong with this child. We got to find out what it is. Why can't she be eating some of these other foods? I suspect it. Why can't we? Why can't we go on to stronger meat? You see, it's part of our spiritual growth. It's part of that building up process of one another. Some have likened it to being spoon-fed. You know, when you start introducing foods to some babies, you feed them with a spoon. And then it goes on to them being able to start doing for themselves. And so on and so forth. You see, get the idea. Our responsibility is to be building up the body of Christ. Each one of us have been given grace. And therefore are able to walk in newness of life. Without that grace, I can't walk in newness of life. But God's grace is there. And God's grace, I can look back over my 40-some years of being a child of His, and I can see God's grace and enabling me to grow and grow. My wife and I were talking about it the other day. I'm not the same man I was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. I'm not the same. The Lord has changed me, has worked on me, has taught me things. I've grown. And that's what each one of us needs to be concerned with, is that the body of Christ is growing. Growing in these things. So let us get rid of our excuses in which we try to justify our disobedience. Paul, I wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that either, would you? You wouldn't try to justify your disobedience? Well, we do, don't we? We make excuses, don't we? Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians, chapter 3. Verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm not perfect yet. And I stand right there with what he said. I'm not perfect. I'm pressing on. I'm striving for that perfection. I'm striving to apprehend for that which I've not apprehended. You see, we have a song that says it best. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. And Brother Ron at 87 can still sing, he's still working on me. I'm not perfect yet. I'm not gone yet. But he's still working on me. A vital part of building up the church is keeping unity of the Spirit. Spirit does not lead to disunity. Does not lead to disobedience. So when two members are walking out of step with one another, and not by the Spirit of God, not by the Spirit of God, we need to be in the Spirit. Spirit lends to unity, makes for efficiency. Efficiency is the act of producing the desired effect. That's what Christ desires of His body, desires it walking in step, desires it walking in unity. And listen, when the body of Christ does that, guess what that spells? Success. It spells success.